And it's difficult for the fruit that we've just talked about to manifest until you love where you live. You got to love him. You got to love him, praise God. Abiding in Christ requires a passionate devotion. If I can put it this way, you're not who you really are until you worship. You're not who you've really been designed by God to be until you worship. Come on, I'm sure just about all of us can recall the commercials. I think it's by Snickers. You know, person is somebody else, and then a friend be like, "Here, man, give them," and they take a bite of a Snickers, and the whole punchline is, you know, you're not yourself, you know, when you're hungry. Here, eat a Snickers. See, you're not yourself until you worship. Here, abide in Jesus. It's got to be a thing where worship is a part of your normal life. Now, again, I'm not talking about just singing songs. That's a part of it. But this, there's this total life surrender. There's this sense of dying. Not yourself until you worship. And listen, and I've seen this. I've been you know, pastoring for years, and I see it. Worship is the hardest thing for people to do. Serving is easy. Get up, help out. Hey, what you need? Move. I can do this. Okay. Hey, here's what I need. Stand right there. Lift up your hands and empty yourself before God. Now all of a sudden, people don't know what to do. John 4, verse 23 to 24 says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Those are the kind that he's looking for. "God is spirit, and those who worship him must," you must worship him in spirit, and you must worship him in truth. So we can amplify that this way. Worship is the responsibility of passionately loving God in spirit, which is our attitude towards God and others. So we're worshiping God, you know, with this sense of passionate love, with our attitude towards God, and watch this, our attitude towards others. Because you listen, you don't worship God hating others. So all this bitterness and divisiveness and hatred we have going on in our society today, that's not worship. Look, you can show up at church all you want and sing your song. You ain't worshiping. No. Worshiping God in spirit now is this passionate love now that we are expressing towards God and others. It says, worship me in spirit. Then he says, also watch this, worship me in truth. See, this is worshiping God now with our lifestyle unto God and before others. Come on now, how we live before God. Watch this, going back to that sense of meekness. God's word is my final authority. So this is how I order my life according to what he says. And this is how I do it before God, and this is how I do it before other people too. So you can see it. That's the worship. But it's an emptying of ourselves to be able to enter over into that place. Always remember that worship always involves three things. Number one, it always involves an altar. That altar is this place or structure dedicated to the remembrance and honor of God alone. And today, that altar is our hearts. It is the place, the structure that is set up for the remembrance of God alone. Watch this. That this is the throne of our lives. And no one else is there, and no one else gets that space but God. Now listen. The reason why, one of the reasons why, my wife and I, we have a great marriage of 22 years, because on the throne of our heart is not Anthony Crawford. On the throne of my heart, it's not Rhonda Crawford. On the throne of our heart is Christ alone. And from his seated place on the throne, we can now effectively love each other. Stop trying to put other people on that throne. Your kids don't belong on that throne. Okay, all right. You're hurting the kids. when you do that. You're hurting them. Second is a sacrifice and an offering. Something of great value that one would part with as an act of devotion to God. Every act of worship should be a sense of sacrifice. We're kind of parting with something. And in a general sense, it winds up being our desires. I wanted to go this way, but God, you said go that way, and that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. Our desires, we relinquish them and say, God, I yield unto you. And see, listen, in order to do this, it requires the death of ourselves. The third element is a surrender. A surrender is this humility of thought and attitude that relinquishes all control and embraces total dependence on the one being worshiped. It's a humility of thought and attitude. You're relinquishing all control. You're embracing now this total dependence on the one that you are worshiping. And listen, this attitude oftentimes, and you see it through scripture, is often, you know, reflected in your body language. It's reflected with your hands, you know, upraised. Come on. It's reflected by, you know, kneeling on, you know, on your knees. It's reflected by, you know, being, you know, laid out prostrate. And interesting, all three of these positions is what law enforcement will call you to get in position to when you're under arrest. Come on, we got officers, you know that in here. Every officer, I'm sure, will attest to this fact. It's not enough for the person to say, I give up. No. Watch this. Come on. Officers. You know, you here it is. You're now pulling this person to a side and, like, you know, you're under arrest. And the person say, okay, I give up. Officers, are you okay with that? No. What's the officer going to do? Put your hands behind your back? Come on, put your hands up. Hey, get down on the ground. They want to see the signs that you've surrendered. Now, I got news for you. God don't want to just hear you say you love him. God said, I want to see it. Come on, I want to see it. Don't just stand there. I love you, Lord. God said, I want to see it. Let me see it in your body. Come on, let me see that you're okay. You're down on your knees. Come on, let me see you laying flat, you know, on the floor. Come on, let me see your hands extended high. Let me see that you really surrender. That's worship. And that's laying our lives down for him. Someone say, I am a worshiper. You know, in our dream team, you know, huddle, we were talking about today, one of our culture points, that we are authentic. Authentic. We don't do this pretense stuff. We're authentic. But understand, the authenticity of who we are is really what we looked at in those nine fruit. That's the authentic you. The authentic you is not like, this is what, you know, how I was raised in such and such. This is how I was raised in Detroit. Or this is how I was raised in Jamaica. This is how I was raised in Opa-locka. That's nice. But how were you raised in the kingdom? And the way that Jesus raises in the kingdom is what we see reflected in those nine fruit. That's our authentic self. But again, you can't abide and you can't live where you don't love. Loving God is a precursor to abiding in him. If you never come to a place where, watch this, you allow yourself to be moved in passion and compassion with him, you'll never abide strong in him. It'll just be a stop on your way to someplace else. And watch this, you've seen many people like that. I've seen people come over the years, come on, just passively, you know, just, yes, I love God, I love Jesus. And now I'll look up and you'll see people, they don't even go to church, nothing. They have a hard time even praying over their food. I'm just like, wow, you really have changed. And I get it. You know, it's not condemnation, but I understand, you know, what happens, that, see, you stopped abiding. You didn't settle. We got to settle. And the and the settling starts with us loving God.